There's nothing that speaks louder to anybody than a changed life.
Hey, this is Ryan Tucker, and we want to thank you for listening to the Unchangeable Truth Podcast. In this podcast, we get to dive into Pastor Stephen's weekly sermons right here at Highland Park Baptist Church. We would ask you to rate, like, subscribe, and comment. And again, we are honored and thankful that you have chosen to listen to the Unchangeable Truth.
Hi, this is Corey Gann. Welcome to The Unchangeable Truth. We are here with Pastor Stephen today, fresh off his sermon, talking about Revelation 13, the servants of Satan. You want to start us off? Can you explain this like I'm a five-year-old?
Man, you know, you just jump right in there.
That's right.
It's like, I didn't even know we could start this podcast without saying...
None of that fluffy stuff for
what
Corey.
What up? That's normally, yeah. I mean, you know, folks have this idea that Corey, you know, all he is guitar playing and singing, that he doesn't think about stuff like Revelation, but I know different. All you have to do is look at the books in his office.
That's right.
Realize that he actually digs in a little bit to that stuff. But yeah, Ryan's out this week celebrating his anniversary.
Yeah, like 28th year or something like that.
Yeah. He's old, dude.
He is old.
I started to call him yesterday because I had some questions, and I thought, leave him alone. Just let him, because I think they got away, and so maybe they're enjoying their time. And
I scheduled Jen Wednesday night to sing.
Oh.
And I started thinking, like, last Wednesday night, accepted.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, they're going out of town.
No, he took all the week. The whole week vacation off, and I think they only went out of town Friday.
But I called her. I said, please don't come. I mean, Ryan's, he's not here. He's skipping.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she might have been wanting to come without
me. She might have been. You're right.
Been like, hey, that'd be a good break.
That's right.
From him. So, so glad to have Corey. If you don't attend our church, Corey is, he's our music guy. I don't know what he's called, worship minister.
I'm not
exactly sure, but he also does our mission work, and he's the lead guy with guitar and puts all the pieces of the band together. And anyway, so it's good to have him. I think he's filled it. You filled in before,
once,
right?
Yeah.
Your dad was here a couple of weeks ago.
That's true.
Yeah. He man, I guess because three or four. I mean, Journey was on him so hard. Hey, look, this amount of time. And man, he came in here, and it was like, man, he was afraid that he was going to run over, and he spoke very little.
I think my mom got onto him, probably.
Maybe so.
He likes to talk.
That's true. Well, yeah, between your mom and Journey, I feel sorry for the guy.
Yeah.
But
whipped down.
Anyway, yeah. So we're in Revelation 13. I could preach 8 series off of Revelation 13. So it's a thumbnail sketch. I want to be careful because I hate preaching sermons that focus on the devil.
Yeah.
Or, you know, in this case, the Antichrist and the false prophet.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't want to give him time.
Yeah.
This entire chapter really focuses on those two that'll come on the scene during the time of tribulation. And, the way I understand end times is, again, I don't believe saved people will be here during the tribulation. I know there are lots of different viewpoints and thoughts on that. But anyway, so I do think it's neat in the passage where, you know, or in the sermon, it may not even been this passage, but the sermon where I talked about, I think it was over in 2 Thessalonians where it talks about he'll just kind of with the breath from his mouth.
Yep.
He'll defeat him. So I think that's a good thing to focus on. But so much of today really buys into the symbolism that is there. Mm-hmm. I say this all the time while I'm teaching, especially in this prophetic stuff, that when it says the word like, that means it's like that. It doesn't mean it is that. And the example I always use is, you know, the Holy Spirit fell down on Jesus when he was baptized like a dove.
Mm-hmm.
Holy Spirit's not a dove.
Yeah.
You go into all these churches and there's doves.
Doves
everywhere.
Yeah.
Doves everywhere. Doves on the gym floor. Dove. but I was at a church in Arkansas one time. We built a big family life center. And What do we put right there on the middle of the court? A dove. But there's a lot of that in here. And I think it's kind of neat to be able to reference Daniel, knowing that it's been less than a year that we walked through the book of Daniel. So that was by design, so we could talk about some of these things, and hopefully folks would understand it. But I mean, a lot of folks forget what I said
before. I liked how you talked about the leopard, the bear, and the lion, how they're reversed in Daniel. It's like almost like a past tense thing. That was cool.
Never thought about that. Well, and I don't know, I don't want to read too much into that. Clearly, people much smarter than I am kind of do that, or they think that.
Yeah.
It makes sense. At the end of the day, I don't think that's going to matter, but it does make sense. I don't think anything just happens to happen in the Bible.
Yeah.
I think everything is there, and it's the way it's there, and it's in the order that it's in for reason. Mm-hmm. But let us not get so bogged down in the weeds that we forget that the main point is let me focus on Jesus and the plan that he has, and I can trust him with the unknown. So, the Antichrist, the false prophet, and when you look at, it's going to be some interesting stuff. I mean, it makes sense how all this is going to transpire and happen. One of the things that we talked about there is, some folks I've seen where they talk about the beast from the sea, and they kind of have like a Loch Ness creature and all that stuff. And to me, it does make sense that the sea is, because the sea in the Bible talks about, it's separation. Because John, a little bit further, he's going to get down to chapter 21, and one of the things that he's going to see is there was no more sea. There's no more sea. And, I don't think, he's talking about a new heavens, new earth.
Yeah.
I think it's more than just, okay, there was no water on this new earth. And maybe that's true, but I really think he's talking about there's no more separation. Because, he's writing this from Patmos. And he had been exiled on Patmos. Separated. There's a sea there. I've been to Patmos.
And
it's one of those islands out in the middle of the Aegean Sea, which would have brought separation for him. It's kind of interesting, though, when you go there and you start talking and looking at things. I always had this idea that Patmos was a volcanic, rocky, I've even preached that because I've studied that. And no, I mean, it's really, really lush.
Wow.
With grass and trees and flowers, and there's a cool little coffee shop just right there. And that coffee is strong, strong. But
Hebrews, I'm sure.
But when it comes to the beast out of the sea, I think it's coming. As I said, the political turmoil.
Yeah,
we see that happening in the world today. Political and just how fracturing things are. I mean, you're a young guy. I mean, are you 40 yet?
Not yet.
All right.
A couple more years.
But Journey and I can remember a day in time where you could disagree on politics and you could still do life together. Yeah. And man, it's not that way now, man. It is.
I mean, during Clinton, it was that way. You could still disagree.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Yeah. Oh, Slick Willie.
Slick Willie.
Yep. I lived in Arkansas. And anyway, when he was there's a big sign that you come across the Mississippi River. And he was talking about, it was state of Arkansas, home of President Bill Clinton, and somebody. I don't know how many times they shot it with a shotgun. And I can tell you this, living in Arkansas, people either loved Bill Clinton or they hated him. There was nobody that was like, doesn't matter to me. But you can't do that now. I mean, there are families that are even fractured and separated based on political things. So I think that divide's just going to get worse and worse and worse. And stop and think, a guy that'll come on the scenes that'll bring some commonality to politics. And it does make sense. I mean, let's say I mean, I don't know. I looked it up not long ago. I can't remember how many people in the world today profess to be Christians. And we know just because somebody says they are doesn't mean that they are. But there'll be millions of folks gone.
Mm-hmm.
Gone in the blink of an eye.
Yep.
You know, two men working in the field.
That's right.
One's taken, another's left. I'm doing that old DC talk.
Wish we'd all been ready.
Yep, Larry Osborne. I've asked you guys to sing that.
We need to do that one for this
series. I've asked you guys
for sure.
to sing that, man. Yep. Anyway, yeah, and so how do I – first of all, everybody's going to be freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
I think those that understood bits and pieces of the Bible but never were followers of Christ, I think they're going to be like, oh, I've been left behind. And there's going to be such upheaval that it makes sense that a guy's going to come on the scene and he's going to be able to say, hey, look, man, look, I'm good. I'm good. Look, look at me. I'm the one that can bring some peace.
Justify it.
That's right. Yeah, well, we're going to be able to unify. And I think the big thing is I think he's going to be able to bring unification for a little while between the Jews and Muslims. Or Palestinians.
Yep.
And that is unthinkable.
Yeah.
That would happen. And then somewhere along the lines where we talked about in the scripture where, you know, he's going to be, I use the word mortally wounded. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I don't know, was Lazarus dead? Was Lazarus just asleep? I have no idea. I mean, I try to figure out something there, but we know this, that he did die again. Yep. They thought he was dead. Sister said his body stinks.
Yep.
I would assume
never
that.
Good.
Yeah. I would assume that means dead. But some way it's going to appear as though this guy's dead. The whole world's going to be able to see it. I mean, crud, you can't do anything right now with traffic cameras and everything else. Yep. They catch everything that you do. And all of a sudden, boom, he's going to be back. And he's going to be like, look here. I told you I was something. Death can't even control me.
Yep.
And it is. It's going to make sense. It, you know, is all that symbolic? I mean, I don't know. I really don't know. But it would make sense that would be the case. And we know it's a reviving, not a resurrection. Yeah. And, you know, I tried to spend a little bit of time talking about the things that the devil takes that God has said is good.
Yeah.
And he offers those cheap imitations and you know, sex outside of marriage is always an easy one to grab there because we see that on a daily basis.
Well, you see other religions too that are just slightly off from Christianity that are Satanist turned, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Or folks, and then my favorite, they keep talking about, they just love their travel ball family, their travel ball family. Man, my travel ball family, and please hear me. I'm for ball just like everybody else. But what is happening is, They're trying to feel that desire, or actually what I believe God has placed there in our hearts for this community and fellowship in the body of Christ with things of the world.
Yeah.
And so anyway, we'll see a little bit of that happening. The description's crazy. and you know, is John, did John literally see that, or is these the things that he's trying to, I don't know. I got a feeling there are times John's just like, man, this makes no sense. I don't get it. I will say this. You remember God told him when he began, hey, you write down the things you see.
Yeah.
You write them down. Probably.
Can you imagine? Well, especially if he's seeing stuff from modern day that he has no way to explain, you know? But I guess I was sitting there thinking during the sermon, I'm sitting right next to the youth, you know. How do you make this real to them?
Sure.
Because I feel like this end time stuff mainly comes on, you know, later in life, starting to think about the end, you know, and how do you make it real for them? You know, they see, you know, for instance, like a 3,000-year-old book, The Odyssey. They just came out with a movie, and they're able to see that now. How do you make it real, you know, for them?
Well, and of course, there are many, many, many more volumes that we have.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
That date the Bible versus the...
Which isn't even a real story, the Odyssey. You
right,
know?
right. But the...
The validity of it.
Yeah, how do you make it real? I mean, I kind of tried to do that a little bit by going back through Daniel.
Yeah.
To say, okay, look, you can look at your history book. This exactly, these dynasties and kingdoms, when he was talking about them, They were nothing.
Yep.
They were nothing. Many of them didn't even exist. And it happened exactly the way that he said. But yeah, it's a hard thing.
Yeah, it is.
To, hey, listen, today's the day. Be ready today. Today's the day. Be ready today. And always trust what you read in the Bible. The problem is when people come along, and we even did a series on this not long ago, and they pull things out of context to try to make it say what they want it to say. And of course, the devil did that when it came to his temptation of Jesus, pulling things out of context. And he was quoting scripture. He was just quoting it in the wrong way and making it say what it really didn't say. But that's a good question. I would say this. There's nothing that speaks louder to anybody than a changed life.
Yeah.
Than a changed life. And the reason why I didn't, because, I've sat there. I can remember when I was in high school and the little church that I went to, and they brought in a guy, and he was, did a revival and a tent meeting, maybe. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so all week, all he did was revelation. So he had a quilt that somebody had made him to where it's the book of Revelation charted out on a quilt.
Yeah.
And he's sitting there and he's going through, and here's what this means, and here's what this means, and here's what this means. And clearly some of the things that he said it meant, we know today it could not mean.
Yeah.
And first of all, I'm sitting there and I'm like, who, does he sleep? Did he put that on his bed? Is that his quilt that he sleeps? Yeah. I mean, how would you like that? Wake up looking at that thing. But my focus was not, let me try to get into deciphering all of the symbolism as much as, man, you're just going to trust Jesus. You're just going to focus on Jesus, because, I mean, the greatest minds theologically in the history of the world have not agreed on some of these things. And again, I don't even think John was agreeing or not agreeing, but I don't think he was understanding what he was writing down. He was just doing what he was told. And
I do think it's important to know, like, hey, there's going to be some guy come on the scene, and he's going to die and come back to life. It's important to know that that's not real. You know, that kind of stuff is important to see.
Right. Well, and you know, like the will of God, there are a lot of folks out there that they when it comes to determining the will of God, their number one thing is circumstances.
Yeah.
And Satan can manipulate circumstances. Mm-hmm. Well, the number one thing should be the Word of God.
Yeah.
Because he can't manipulate the Word of God. Now, he'll try.
Yeah.
But that's why it's so important for you to understand and be in the Word of God. And that's where wisdom comes about. And, I mean, without a doubt. I mean, we go back and we see that all throughout the Old Testament. And I think there are portions that you can see in the New Testament to where there were spiritists and mediums and all these kinds of things that
talked about it in Daniel or David the other night's life.
Yeah,
Samuel.
Yeah, to be able to do some things that clearly are not of God.
Yep.
They've kind of fabricated it, or it appears as though it's right. I would say so. If you know, number one, if you sit there and there's a guy, first of all, if you're there and all of a sudden millions of people have left the world and there's no trace, you are now in that time.
Yeah, that's right.
But if you don't get it with that one, all of a sudden when the dude comes and says, "Look, I was shot," but now Scripture, Scripture does tell us in Revelation that there's going to be a delusion that will come over people's eyes and minds. And I don't know, because there are some that say, because I think it actually reads, God gave them unto a delusion. And, I believe that God can give you to something. It doesn't mean that God's necessarily the one who put it on you. But I don't know. Is it a situation where they can't actually see and understand what is going on, or they're so deluded in the time and in the environment that's happening that they aren't able to spot what normally they would easily be able to spot?
We saw that. You see that in Romans 1, too. Gave them over to
To the lust of their hearts.
Yeah.
Where men exchanged what was natural with women for other men.
Yep.
And then the moment that you say, he's talking about homosexuality, then all of a sudden, you're horrible.
Yep.
This is a terrible, I mean, we'll probably, it's amazing whenever we, on the podcast talk about very conservative things and biblical things that might be considered politically incorrect. Mm-hmm. It's amazing that there's always issues with stuff that we put out there when it comes to that. Or all of a sudden our viewing audience goes from thousands to four, and you're like, wow, something's weird there.
It's literally right here, scripture.
Well, without a doubt, I saw a comment the other day that, you know, looking for a progressive church. Actually, I didn't see the comment. I'm not on social media. My daughter saw it and passed it along. Looking for a progressive church, one that doesn't believe gay people are going to hell. Mm. Well, first of all, the gospel can save anyone.
Yep.
Somebody does not go to hell because of a sexual preference. Mm-hmm. What that is sin. Sin separates from God. And ultimately, choosing not to receive the grace of Jesus Christ and confess your sins is what sends you to hell. Mm-hmm. But, it's all, here's the way I take that as, hey, I want to find a church that'll sidestep social issues that the Bible very clearly speaks to.
Yep.
Now, I think you love folks like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're all sinners. I mean, that goes so much outside of the realm of just whatever your sexual preference is. It applies to everything. If I don't know Christ as Lord and Savior, I can be heterosexual and I'm going to hell.
Yeah.
Well,
that's not like a differing opinion in eschatology or end time stuff.
That's
something way beyond that.
Exactly. But yet there are folks, again, who've pulled things contextually out of, and they're like, well, no, God's for love. Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. God is for love, and God, it's like I said this morning, a great gift, the institution of marriage came from God, and within the confines, a sexual relationship with your spouse, and that's a good thing. Matter of fact, Paul even says, hey, look, there are some of you that are like, we're not going to do this.
Yeah.
And he's like, you shouldn't do that unless it's for a season of prayer and fasting, and I think basically what he is saying is because there are desires that are there that if it's not fulfilled within the confines of what God has said is good, then
it will be.
Exactly. And so I don't even know how we got down
I
here,
either.
Man. We went way.
I mentioned Romans 1,
away.
I think.
Yeah, that's it. Romans 1. But the word of God, you can trust it, you can believe it. And, here it's talking about this guy, his desire, what Satan's desire has always been is to draw worship away from God. Mm. I think that's why Lucifer was kicked out of heaven to begin with, and the desire to be worshipped. And here it's going to be the same way with the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. And again, I think the Jews are cool with most of everything that's happening until he goes into the temple.
Mm, yeah,
and they're going to think they're going to go back to the abomination that causes desolation. Where was it, Titus?
I think so.
Titus, the Roman general, he ransacks Jerusalem, and he doesn't stop there. He goes into the holy temple, and he sacrifices a pig on the altar.
That's not good.
Pig blood all over it. Well, yeah, I mean, there's nothing worse for a Jew that's following Jewish dietary law than a sow. And so he's just like, I don't care. I'll do whatever I want to do. I'll show you. Yeah. And so that's going to come back to their mind. Oh, here we go. It's no, we're not going to be a part of this. I think a great many will come to Christ through that, and then they're going to be persecuted. And it's not hard for us to sit there as we continue on through the book of Revelation. We'll see that the whole world ultimately will turn against Israel.
Yeah.
It's not
hard to believe.
Huh?
It's not hard to believe at this moment.
No, well, I mean, I would sit there and say, okay, who else is left? There's very few. You like it or not, I mean, there's no way that you can read the Bible and not understand God has chosen the nation of Israel as his own people. Mm-hmm. And he didn't choose them because they were pretty cool. He chose them because they were the lowest of the lowest.
Yep.
And he's like, I'll get glory out of them. I'll take fourth string JV. I think that's going to happen when this Antichrist says, you're going to worship me.
Mm. That's good. Yeah, I really like that part. And then you have the second point. We're almost out of time, but the beast of the earth, which is the basically you said the false prophet or the vice president, you said.
Yeah, right. The prime minister.
Yeah.
That gets lost on us, though, in the United States. Yeah, it does. He does the dirty work.
Yeah.
He's the guy that is going around, and I even made the kind of the symbolism or the similarity to, hey, here he is trying to counterfeit what God does with basically this guy's going to be the Antichrist, Holy Spirit, if you will. Look to him, worship him. And he's going to be smooth, man.
Mm-hmm. You made the point too about how Pharaoh had his magicians that could do some of the, you know, the things that Moses did.
Right.
But they were, again, counterfeit. So
Right. Well, and this guy's going to be able to do those kinds of things.
Exactly.
And I don't, are we talking sleight of hand? Are we talking magician?
AI.
Yeah, or AI. Yeah. I didn't think about that. Remember, Billy Ocean. You remember him, Journey? Smooth Operator. Wasn't that Billy Ocean that wrote, sang Smooth Operator?
Oh, that was Sade. That was a woman.
Sade.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
And he's got her record out there.
Billy Ocean.
I'm sorry, Billy. Yeah. I hate that.
I see him operating. Washing his car, and he's got Sade playing out there.
Man. I mean, you know, I would. Yeah, there you go. I don't know, but this guy is going to be gifted. And I mean, we see today. You know, a lot of times when it comes to people that are in very, very high ranking governmental positions. It's not even necessarily what they're saying. They just have a really good gift of saying it.
Yeah.
Or, you know, hey, let's focus on how somebody looks, or let's do this, or let's do that. I mean, so I easily could see how he's going to come on and he's going to fake all these things. And he is going to, the big thing is when he comes and they say, okay, this is the way we're going to do this one world currency, in which I had somebody come to me and they said, go back 2 weeks ago, I guess, the United Kingdom, maybe, what is that? Is that going to be Prime Minister, United Kingdom? But anyway, he was saying that they were talking about kind of coming back with a Euro type thing, but making it where it is put on your body. I don't know. I have to do some research into that, but you easily.
It's not far off.
Oh, man, you take a shot. I mean, have you ever seen them put those tracking strips in dogs? I mean, it's a shot. Boom. There it is. Boom.
Yep.
And if you've ever watched Bourne Supremacy, now I'm not talking about, I'm not saying watch it. Please hear me. It's got some bad language. Journey watched it and told me about
That's right.
I mean, you see how they're able to do all those kinds. I'm just saying, it's not far-fetched. We read this, and John, there were things with John to where he was having a hard time understanding, and we're like, oh my goodness, I feel like we're living in it right now.
Yep.
And so the ultimate thing is just keep your eyes on Jesus, man. Keep your eyes on Jesus and
run to the cross, as you
run
says.
To the cross. Yeah. And go ahead and do that now so you won't have to worry about what does delusion mean during this time.
Yep.
I'm thankful that he did put at the very beginning, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Mm. Boom.
Yep.
It's through that lens.
You know what it's all about, don't we?
Oh, without
a doubt.
Where
it leads.
Yeah, no doubt. So anyway, well, we're glad for those that are watching and listening, and it's always a privilege for you to trust us when it comes to the unchangeable truth of the Bible. Hope you tune in next week. We miss Ryan. Ryan, you'll be on vacation. Corey was in here measuring to see about bringing in a different chair. Didn't like the way yours sit.
That's right.
And he did wear, no, he brought his own in-ears.
I
was afraid to use Ryan's, and I get that. So we're glad to have you. God bless you. We'll see you again soon.
See ya.
This is Pastor Stephen Kyle, and I would like to thank you for listening to this week's episode of Unchangeable Truth. We would always love to talk to you about your relationship with Jesus Christ, so feel free to shoot us an email at podcast@highlandpark.org. That's HILANDPARK.org. The purpose of this broadcast is to help you fall more in love with Jesus Christ and your faith to grow as you consistently find yourself in the Word of God. If you ever find yourself in Panama City, please feel free to stop by and worship with us in person at 2611 Highway 231 North. May God bless you, and we look forward to you joining us again.